This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, September 9th. I'm Audra McCabe. Two climbers have died on Colorado 14ers in separate incidents less than a week apart. Last week, the Pitkin County Sheriff's Office was contacted about an overdue climber believed to be in the Maroon Bell Snowmass Wilderness. The following day, September 3rd, Mountain Rescue Aspen searched the area with CareFlight of the Rockies and located the body of the climber in very technical and difficult terrain to access. The recovery effort was so complicated that it had to be scheduled 6 days out. Starting in the early hours of yesterday morning, ground and technical rescue teams worked to reach and secure the area. At first light, FlightLife Colorado dropped off three MRA technical climbers on the ridge south of Maroon Peak. From there, the rescue climbers ascended for an hour until they were about 1,000 feet above the body and then had to rappel down to reach it. If that wasn't complicated enough, no aircraft with long-line extraction capability was available in Colorado, but the Utah Department of Public Safety Aviation Unit was able to provide a specialty helicopter based out of Salt Lake City, which recovered the body and flew it to T-Lazy 7 Ranch, where the Pitkin County Coroner was located. The helicopter then returned to Maroon Peak to extract the three technical rescue climbers. And on Sunday, after the first body had been discovered but before its recovery, authorities were made aware of another fallen climber on Castle Peak, south of Aspen. Flight for Life located the body, then transported MRA team members to the area. They reached the climber and determined the individual had passed from injuries that were not survivable. The body was then carefully recovered from the mountain. As of production time, no information about either individual has been made public. Mountain Rescue Aspen and the Pitkin County Sheriff's Office is encouraging those traveling in the backcountry to minimize risk by being prepared for their outing, familiarize themselves with their routes and conditions, and understand the limits of their experience and abilities. President Trump has approved the disaster designation for Ouray, Pueblo, Dolores, and Custer counties due to the Gold Mountain Fire and the Aspen Acres Fire. All 10 members of Colorado's congressional delegation came together at the end of last month to send a bipartisan letter urging the president to expedite his review and approve the state's request. Congressman Jeff Hurd, who represents the Western Slope in U.S. Congress, announced the approval on Friday and said this means federal resources can begin helping with debris removal, emergency work, damaged roads, water systems, utilities, and other critical public infrastructure. The federal government is trying to remove thousands of wild horses from public lands across the West by the end of the month. But Colorado officials are asking for an immediate freeze to the roundups, citing animal welfare concerns. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
This month, the Bureau of Land Management is scheduled to fly helicopters to chase wild horses into corrals in Idaho, Nevada, Wyoming, and Colorado. BLM numbers show nearly 900 horses were gathered in northwest Colorado in August, and 9 animals died in the operation. Now, in a letter to Interior Department officials, Colorado Governor Jared Polis is calling on the feds to postpone the next ones.
The immediate concern is the inhumane nature of these helicopter roundups in which horses are terrified, injured, scared.
He says another method, darting horses with fertility vaccines, is safer and cheaper, but the BLM says the helicopters are needed to bring the populations way down. It says plans are on to collect more horses near Craig, Colorado, starting next week. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The past several months have been tense for members of the Montrose City Council. Just yesterday, member Dave Frank resigned, saying the stress and conflict of being a council member takes a toll on both our public and personal lives. Some of this tension stems from differing opinions on a slate of ballot measures that, if passed, would make significant changes to the city charter. Council member J. David Reed pushed for the council to assemble a charter review commission that would have allowed citizens to review and recommend amendments to the charter. Getting ballot measures properly drafted, reviewed, and filed with the county is a lengthy process, and assembling a commission would have taken too long to get these measures on the ballot this November. Councilors Adam Wooden and Ed Uliberry joined Mayor Badiyako in voting against the formation of a citizens' commission. So, Montrose City voters will have to vote for or against a few measures proposed by the city council. The first would move municipal elections from April to November. Spring elections are referred to as off-season elections, while elections held in November in conjunction with wider races are referred to as on-season. Election experts say that the primary benefit of off-season elections, which is Montrose's current practice, is that it allows voters to focus on local issues and local candidates. When local elections are held in the spring, voters are less distracted by state or federal races, which typically get a lot of attention. There are two primary benefits of on-season elections. The first is larger turnout. When more races are on the ballot and the election gets more attention, turnout increases significantly. In turn, those who cast a ballot are likely to be more representative of the electorate than the fewer who show up for April elections. On-season elections also save money, because adding municipal elections to the November ballot is much cheaper than running a separate election in April. The second measure would institute 8-year lifetime term limits for councilors. J. David Reed doesn't think it's necessary.
In 144 years, you know how many people we've had that created a problem? Where that created a problem? If it was a problem? We've only had four people. Four representatives of our community in 144 years. We're trying to correct the problem, Mr. Mayor, that doesn't exist. In the last 40 years, we've only had two, one of whom is Mr. Uliberry. And Mr. Uliberry has committed himself to serving his community. I'm not belittling that. I think that's a great thing that anybody would commit 15 years of their life to serving on this council, whether I agree with him politically or not. That's not the question. That's not the issue we're talking about.
Mayor Badiyako, however, says the measure is intended to encourage periodic turnover and create opportunities for new leaders.
One of the biggest reasons for this, in my mind, is it encourages leadership opportunities for new candidates. It also promotes a periodic turnover of elected elected officials, and it provides a consistent term limit standard for all the council seats. That's my viewpoint. Obviously, everyone else has their viewpoint.
City Council has also proposed ballot measures that would change the city charter back to its pre-2014 structure, which would give City Council say over the hiring and firing of the police chief and city clerk. Right now, that decision is solely at the discretion of the city manager. Here's how Adam Wooden framed his support for the measure.
This position is very important. She does an amazing job, but I also would like in the future for council to be a part of the hiring or firing, because it brings it closer to the people who elect all of us.
Not everyone sees it that way. Here's resident Cliff Farr during public comment last month.
So I spoke previously, and I talked about roles, and I talked about labels. I'm the public. This is the public. You're the government. You're the government. Changing this doesn't make it closer to the public or the people. It makes it closer to the government. This is government overreach.
Council members had heated debates over these ballot measures, with Badiyako, Uliberry, and Wooden typically in the majority, and Reed and Frank issuing strong dissent. Immediately after Frank's resignation was made public yesterday, J. David Reed and Mayor Michael Badiyako put out a joint statement saying that they were committed to working together and finding common ground in order to better serve Montrose. The statement says, quote, following the November election and consideration of the proposed amendments, we will jointly ask the City Council to establish a Citizens Charter Review Commission. The commission should broadly represent the community, examine the charter as a whole, invite meaningful public participation, and recommend whether additional changes would serve the long-term interests of Montrose. Whatever recommendations it may make, if any, and whether the council and voters ultimately accept or reject them, the process itself can provide a constructive opportunity for citizens with different perspectives to work together on the future of their city government, end quote. Though tensions have been steadily rising over the summer, Badiyako and Reed seem ready to turn over a new leaf and present a united front heading into the fall. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audra McCabe.